In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, today's gospel is very strong because Jesus uses a language that we do not expect, and a language that is very figurative. But the teaching that we have here in this gospel is very important. Jesus says, if your leg, if your foot, if your hand, if your eye even, is leading you to commit a sin, it is better to cut it off, to tear it out, instead of being put into hell with both legs and the feet and the eyes. What does it mean? We have not to take this teaching literally, as some Muslim countries do, where if you steal, you have your hand cut off. No. Jesus is using this language in order to make clear a concept, the doctrine. The doctrine is, the sin is something to cut off of you immediately, to stop it, because sin is damaging your life. And if that sin remains there, your life is under threat forever, because you will be thrown into hell. A sin unrepented is the cause of an eternal damnation. The first account about this sin is about specifically the scandal. If anyone is an obstacle, so literally if anyone is a scandal to another person, so scandal means to put an obstacle on the path of another person, impeding that person to go ahead. If with your behavior, with your life, with your sins, you become an obstacle to another person, and this is even a stronger language here, and that obstacle, unfortunately, is causing another person to lose the faith and to turn away even from God, this is the worst that can happen. Better for this person to be thrown into the sea with a great millstone round his neck. Let's first reflect on this. Sin which becomes a scandal, this is the worst scenario, because a sin is bad, of course, and we have to cut it off immediately to be ready to receive God's forgiveness and to repent ourselves in order to change our life. But when sin even is adding the scandal, because it is a way to bring down one of the little ones who have a little faith, a simple faith, that sin has to be immediately stopped. That action has to be immediately stopped, because that action is very bad. We can immediately think of what is going on in our mother church nowadays. This crisis, moral crisis, made of sexual abuses and cover-ups. This is a way to scandalize the little ones. We can think of the victims of all these scandals. The children as seminarians, as other people. These victims, unfortunately, are brought down by the scandal, by the behavior of the clergy in the church. So this scandalous action has to be stopped immediately. That evil has to be rooted out. better to be thrown into the sea with a milestone round the neck instead of going into... here we don't have the consequence, but Jesus is using this very strong language to let us figure out the evil of sin. And now we have a sin which is leading into a scandal. And the second and the third account is only about a sin committed with my eyes, with my arms, with my life. So the general teaching of our Lord in this beautiful gospel is about, we can say, the reality of sin, the evil of sin, whose unforgiveness leads directly to eternal damnation, to hell. So, my dear brethren, let us now think of these two key words that we have in the gospel today, sin and hell. I wonder whether we have completely put away these words and cancelled them from our religious vocabulary, isn't it? Do we still think, Catholically speaking, of these realities, or we try just with our daily behavior to forget about sin, to forget about hell? Of course, no one wants to think of hell. It's a bad event, a bad happening. But the risk is of neglecting these realities. But once neglected, these realities, which are not a story belonging to the past, to the Middle Age, but this is the gospel, when we neglect this vocabulary, and we stop believing in sin, in its reality, and in hell, the consequence is that, unfortunately, our behavior might easily become scandalous. That is, in other words, that sin covered up in its reality, as a reality, easily comes up as a scandalous behavior, very shameful, where everyone becomes aware of it. This is the case with today's situation in the Catholic Church, because we have to confess that we priests first have unfortunately abandoned in our preachings the doctrine of sin, to preach about the reality of sin, to preach about the reality of hell. Do we listen still to this reality in preachings? Or just we try to please the people and say, everyone is saved, God is mercy, God is fine, God is love, everyone is happy. This kind of behavior, to please the people, to make everyone happy, has unfortunate consequences. Because we cannot ignore, we cannot neglect the reality of sin. Because sin is sin. Hell is hell. If we try to neglect it, unfortunately, since sin has always consequences, has always effects on ourselves, on other people's lives, on our society, we cannot forget it. Because in a way or the other, that sin is due to come out and to be visible in its effects, in its bad effects. You see, this is a way to make an apology of sin, so to speak. We have to think about sin. We have to cut it off. We have to repent of our sins and to change our lives in order to let it go and leave it behind. Otherwise, again, we ourselves are condemned to be enslaved by that reality that we try to cover up. So, my dear brethren, the question is, in our religious catechetical vocabulary, sin and hell are still there or have been cancelled? This is a good question to refresh our catechism. They most of the times are cancelled, not because they are wrong, because we say, no, the gospel is wrong, sin is nothing, hell is a kind of story of the Middle Age. No, but we have, unfortunately, abandoned this vocabulary with its contents. Why? Because it is something which people cannot easily understand. Our society does not understand anymore this language, old-fashioned language. Since we go with the flow, and we are led by the flow of the time, sin has become anachronistic, something out of fashion, something like a cloth that we have put in our closet and we cannot use it anymore. It is there, fine, it is kept well, but in there, not anymore, as a habit coming with me. This is the same thing which happened to our doctrine. That doctrine, which was uncomfortable, has been put into a closet and locked in. It is safe, but in there. So, my dear brethren, the question of the gospel today is very important. Sin, although always bad, as an evil reality, has to be thought about. It's something concerning our life. It is a risk. It is a way to be taken away from God, from good, from becoming a saint. So if we come back to this reality, if we ponder the evil of this reality, this is the first step to come out of this embarrassing situation of scandals, unfortunately coming out from everywhere nowadays. The first step to come out of this mess is to call things by their name, not to cover them up. Sin is still sin. Sin means still sin, as hell, although something that we do not want to think about, but hell means still hell, eternal perdition, away from God. If we come back to this Catholic vocabulary, this is the first step to sort out all this embarrassing crisis, unfortunately, very shameful, and now embarrassing the whole church. The sins of some people are embarrassing the whole mystical body of Christ. Because again, sin is never private, never only mine. Of course it is, I'm responsible of my sins, but my sins have effects, they impact the parish, the diocese, the church, the society. That's why if we ponder this reality and the effects of this bad reality, this is the first move in order to get rid of it and move forward to a moment where the church might shine again in her splendor, immaculate splendor. But we priests and all other people, all faithful, have to faithfully stick to this beautiful religious vocabulary: sin, hell, eternal perdition. And of course, in order to understand what grace is, what eternal life is, what salvation still means for everyone. Let us turn to Our Lady to pray to her in order to be now strong enough to face this embarrassing, scandalous situation and to ask for all graces we all need in order to be good Catholics, holy people, striving for holiness and trying to live the good life of the Gospel of our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.